And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Sorry for that delay, having some technical problems, you know. There's a difficult time going on. Ali Abunima joins us from Chicago. Ali is a leader in the battle to end illegal occupation of Israel. Ali Abunima has talked eloquently about the importance of a one-state solution. He was recently in Egypt trying to be a part of a freedom march into Gaza 1 year after the U.S.-Israeli slaughter over the Gaza Strip, which left some 1,400 people dead, over 300 children, advanced weaponry. It's impossible to believe that it happened, but it did in fact happen. Ali Abunima, welcome back to Flashpoints. That's one of those things that this world will never get over.
Thank you, Dennis. It's good to be back. No, it's still, you know, the file is open. The wounds are still bleeding, and you know, justice has not been done. And Israeli officials and officers are worried when they travel around the world that they will be arrested. This crime will not go away until justice is done.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Ali Abunima. Well, talk about what you think the importance was of going, trying to march into Gaza. What was accomplished there? What happens in the aftermath?
Well, I'll tell you, just a few days ago, I was in Houston, Texas, and I was invited down there to speak by a Palestinian community group. And I met a young man who studies in Houston, and he is originally from Gaza, and he was telling me that his mother had managed over the summer to get to Gaza and get a permit to enter Gaza for 24 hours to see her own mother, this young man's grandmother, whom she hadn't seen for more than 11 years. And she was able to see her for 24 hours, not knowing if she would ever see her again because her mother was quite advanced in age. Now imagine that, and imagine having to leave. Imagine seeing your mother or another loved one for the first time in so many years, and then having to say goodbye and leave after just 24 hours, not knowing if you can come back. That really brought home to me something that we learned when we went to Cairo and tried to go to Gaza, that if that grandmother in Gaza were in a maximum security prison for committing a crime of murder, it would be easier to visit her than it is to visit her as a refugee among 1.5 million other people, most of them refugees in the Gaza Strip. Gaza is harder to visit than a maximum security prison. And when we were in the streets of Cairo, being surrounded by riot police, being, on occasion people were being hit and shoved and, you know, prevented from expressing themselves, all of this because we wanted to go to Gaza and break the siege. People who got in taxis and went to try to get to the border were stopped and turned back, had their passports confiscated. The buses that were hired were, the police, the Egyptian authorities did not allow them to come and pick us up. So all of this is to keep 1.5 million people in Gaza in prison. And all this is done with the full complicity of the United States government, which refused our requests when we went to the embassy to ask Egypt to lift the siege so we could go and join. So this is what we learned. It's a very different thing to talk in abstract about the siege. But when you go and you find walls of steel and walls of riot police and walls of lies from U.S. and other government officials, you must bear witness to the enormity, the historic enormity of this crime, of 1.5 million people being held in prison, the world's largest maximum security prison called the Gaza Strip.
Now, some 1,400 people went to Egypt. Cairo tried to get into Gaza. Many were surprised. Many learned a great deal about local politics, and many were surprised to see the role that the Egyptians play in the occupation. Why don't you talk about the special role that the Egyptians play and that fence that they're digging now?
Well, we have to distinguish between the Egyptian people who, whenever we encountered them, whether it was in a joint rally we held on December 29th or whether it was just ordinary people who tried to approach us, you know, we were always surrounded by riot police whose main concern was to keep Egyptians away from us and to keep us from having that contact with them. But, you know, whenever we met Egyptians, they were incredibly supportive. But the Egyptian government, which effectively is a puppet regime for the United States, I mean, that's the only conclusion you can reach after seeing their behavior, is working with the United States government, with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to dig, you know, to basically put a steel wall underground, the length of the border of Gaza on the Egyptian side to prevent Gazans even digging tunnels through which they can bring in vital supplies that they're denied because of the blockade. We also had while we were there, the Egyptian foreign minister going on Al Jazeera and denouncing us as, you know, hooligans and troublemakers and people who'd come to make Egypt, to Egypt to make trouble when in fact we'd come on a solidarity mission, a humanitarian mission. This was called the Gaza Freedom March, partly in reference to the, you know, the freedom marches in the United States during the civil rights era. It was Barack Obama in June in Cairo who appealed to people to remember that history and to remember the civil protest and civil resistance in the civil rights movement. And we went in that spirit and found the way blocked and the United States working closely with Egypt to enforce and tighten this siege. A siege, Dennis, that has been so tight that during the first year since the Israeli bombing, only 41 trucks of construction supplies have been allowed into the Gaza Strip. In an entire year since the bombing, you have to compare that to more than 7,400 trucks of construction material a month that were going into Gaza before Israel imposed the tight siege in June 2007. You have to remember that of the 640 schools in the Gaza Strip, 18 were completely destroyed in the bombing and 280 were damaged. Almost half of the health clinics were bombed and damaged or destroyed in the bombing, let alone thousands of houses, government buildings, police stations. None of this has been rebuilt. And that's why we were going to try to break this siege and to really cry out against this deliberate crime. That while Israel is sending PR propaganda delegations to Haiti, for a couple of weeks, they were there for a couple of weeks before packing up and leaving once they got the publicity photos. But meanwhile, Earthquake Israel continues in the Gaza Strip more than a year later. And there has been no relief and no mobilization and nothing getting into Gaza.
We're speaking with Ali Abunima. He is the founder of the electronicintifada.net. He will be in the Bay Area. For those of you listening locally, he'll be in Sunday, February 28th, 7 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School. This is a benefit for the Middle East Children's Alliance, for Mecca, and Ali Abunima will be talking a lot about how we can complete the Gaza Freedom March, a freedom march. Ali Abunima, one of the significant things that came out of Cairo was, I guess it was called the Cairo Accord, or there was a structure that was put together first by the South African people who were a part of the Freedom March, and then it was signed by many countries and many significant activists. Talk about that.
Yes. The Cairo Declaration, which you can find, it's on the Electronic Intifada and other websites, was really an initiative of the South African delegation, and there was a significant delegation from South Africa, many young people who, you know, would barely remember the apartheid era themselves, and many veterans of the anti-apartheid struggle, and people from COSATU, the Confederation of South African Trade Unions, that has been a leader in South Africa against apartheid there, but now against in favor of boycott, divestment, and sanctions on Israel. And the initiative they put forward really was to reinforce the rationale for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement to really bring an end to Israeli apartheid. And so the Cairo Declaration reaffirms that and calls for a number of activities, the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, and some practical activities such as participating in and supporting Israel Apartheid Week, which is a global phenomenon now, held in the first week of March, and it's really at the start of Israel Apartheid Week that I'm coming back to Berkeley and looking forward to it. And I should just say, before I forget, that the Middle East Children's Alliance, you know, people can get more information about them and about my talk by going to their website, which is meccaforpeace.org, M-E-C-A. F-O-R-Peace.org.
MeccaForPeace.org. And one of your correspondents, a good friend of mine and the senior producer of this show right now, is just landed, I guess, in the West Bank yesterday. And I wanted to let people know, Ali, that she'll be doing more reporting for the electronicintifada.net, and people will hear her auditory reports here on Flashpoints, and they can go to flashpoints.net and make sure that they're up to date with the kind of reporting we do on this show. Ali, people, you know, sometimes Palestinians laugh at me when I ask this question. But is there hope? And if there is, where does yours come from?
Yes, well, let me just say that it's not a real visit to Berkeley without Nora being there. But I'm so happy that she is in Palestine, and that the brilliant reporting she does that is of such value is going to be heard by your listeners and read by people on the Electronic Intifada. That kind of quality work is unfortunately too rare in our media economy in this country, and it deserves people's respect.
And any journalist that makes it the front line of their beat and takes it on head on suffers. And of course, Nora has taken all those risks and done a beautiful job in the face of all of it. So thank you, Ali, and we will continue. Again, hope.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you may have noticed that Israel recently has been in a full-scale panic about what it's calling, and, you know, you in Berkeley are sitting in what they are calling in Israel one of the big delegitimization hubs. Now, that's a derogatory term for the global movement for justice. I mean, Israel considers this, according to one of their leading thinkers, tanks called the Re'ut Institute, and we did a big expose of them on the Electronic Intifada last week. They say that the global movement of boycott, divestment, and sanctions, and for justice and for equality, they are calling it an existential threat to Israel. I mean, that's like saying the anti-apartheid movement was an existential threat to racism. I guess that was the case. But they're taking this really seriously, and it's growing, and it's grown so much in the past year that I have tremendous hope from that. The other side we have to be aware of is that they are fighting back dirtier than ever, and we've seen the kind of smear tactics, the kind of ad hominem attacks on people, the use of, accusing people of anti-Semitism has just gone wild in a way that we've never seen before. And to me, that's a sign that their backs are really up against the wall, because they have no answer to the call for justice and equality that this movement represents.
All right. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Ali Abunima. You can meet him, hear more about his work, hear him speak in support of the Middle East Children's Alliance Mecca. This is happening Sunday, February 28th, 7 p.m. You can go to meccaforpeace.org, meccaforpeace.org, meccaforpeace.org. For more information, I urge you to check Ali Abunima out. Check out the electronic intifada.net. This is extraordinary work, and it's material that you will not get anywhere else. Intelligent, methodical, interesting, and important. Ali Abunima, we thank you for all the hard work, and we're looking forward to having you as our guest in the community again.
I can't wait to be back. Thank you.
All right. You take care. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.